Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, you got to check out this write-up here, this coverage from the Montana Sentinel, a conservative website out of Helena. It was one of the larger, this is the write-up here from Darren, or is it, I don't know if Darren wrote this or if it says staff writer on it. So this is from the Montana Sentinel. It was one of the larger group therapy sessions Helena has hosted in a long time. Approximately 700 people gathered at the Capitol building, taking part in an organized protest against Trump and Musk and Doge. It was one of course, numerous hands-off protests planned nationally. Let's see. Expected themes appeared such as hands-off Social Security and defend democracy. And then the author notes Social Security is not getting cut and America is not a democracy. Of course, I would add, we are a republic. Many other chants and signs called for resistance, support to Ukraine, smashing fascism, and eradicating Nazis. I thought that part was the funniest. We're against fascism. And look at all of these people wearing masks. I mean, these people, I tell you what, you want to see who the fascists are. This is the shut up and wear a mask crowd. This is the people who would come, you know, spitting and screaming at you if you showed up in Seattle not wearing one of their stupid masks. And these are the people that try to shut down your free speech rights all the time, but they pretend to be anti-fascist. So what were they actually talking about? It was like a carnival of all the radical left groups that were here. During an open mic session, again, this is from the Montana Sentinel, following the main speakers, protesters stood up to speak in support of public libraries, furries, and Therians. I'll have to ask David, what are Therians? Anyway, the prevention of climate change, LGBTQ alphabet needs, and general revolution. Some appeared as fake Antifa members, actual members of Big Sky 55, Indivisible, and Democrat Socialists of America were present, as well as other minor leftist groups. Sam Faddis, a former CIA operations officer, has AND magazine and magazine, and he has a great point. He says, call them Jacobins or communists. These protests are about rage and violence and revolution. So that's a great write-up that he's got at AND Magazine, AND Magazine. But, yeah, like I say, we're going to have Darren Gobb, who writes for the Montana Sentinel. He'll be with us in about 1 hour. Plus, we've got Henry Kriegel joining us for our weekly legislative update around 8:20. And then we're going to talk more about the state legislature and the split in the Republican caucus and some of the biased, well, not some of it, all of the biased liberal media coverage of the legislature as well. In fact, one lawyer here in Montana is calling for one liberal news outlet, is demanding that that outlet issues a retraction because of their erroneous and, dare say, deliberately erroneous reporting. So that lawyer will join us around 8:40. Evelyn Pyburn up next.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area today and some increasing clouds late today in spots. High temperature readings will trend from the mid-60s across the Bozeman area to the lower 70s in Billings. For tonight, we'll see some cloudiness and a few light showers possible in some areas. Upper 30s in Bozeman, mid-40s in Billings. And then on Tuesday, with the chances for showers, otherwise staying rather cloudy through the day. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health, a country that has one of the world's worst problems with obesity and diabetes. also has new guidelines to help fight it off. Mexico officially launching a prohibition of junk food sales in its schools. Schools will now forbid any food or beverage displaying even a single black warning logo. Package labeling that began in 2020 indicating the food is high in salt, sugar, calories, and fat. Mexico's education ministry wrote, "Farewell junk food," on social media platform X. The country's tackling of childhood obesity and diabetes is also being watched by other world governments. UNICEF classifies Mexico's childhood obesity epidemic as an emergency and also notes that Mexico's children eat more junk food than any other country in Latin America. The agency says highly processed foods and sugary drinks account for about 40% of the total calories kids are eating every day. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right, Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal now with us. Let's turn that music down just a little bit there, Caden. I think we're still a little hot on our intro music there. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. Evelyn, it sounds like the good news is we are going to get tax relief. It's just, is it going to be the best version or some watered-down version thereof? Anyway, great to have you on the show this Monday.
Well, thank you. I have that in the hot sheet about the, you know, the uncertainty, I guess you would say, what's going to happen with tax relief. The governor's proposals are kind of in limbo, and the legislators believe they can reduce revenues too much, despite the fact that the state has racked up a huge surplus over the past few years, and they're projected to have as much as $2.3 billion in surplus by fiscal year 27. And so when one of the governor's proposals to cut income tax across the board from 5.9% to 4.9%, that would reduce state revenue by $300 million annually. And, you know, you put up $300 million as part of $2.3 billion, it doesn't strike me as something they should be, you know, that anxious about. But some legislators are countering with proposals that provide relief only to lower and middle income taxpayers, including expanding the earned income tax credit, which my understanding is that Gianforte is not opposed to that. But Gianforte pointed out that in 2021 and 2023, tax cuts actually resulted in greater revenue for state government. And this has been always a consistent, counterintuitive experience in all the history of tax cuts. When any government, federal or state, reduced taxes, their revenue increased. And and there's some logic to that because businesses and others invest more money. They generate more production. There's more sales. There's more tax revenue. And so tax revenues, I don't know if I've ever heard of a tax cut that resulted in true losses of revenue to any government. So I think Governor Gianforte is very correct in observing that.
No, I totally agree with you. That point you made about, okay, so it's a $300 million line item. you know, whenever you do budgets, they have to count the tax cut as a revenue loss, even though, as you accurately pointed out, it always leads to more revenue. So that's kind of a shell game, if you ask me. But yeah, but even so, $300 million with the, you know, billion, you know, with the billion plus that we have in surpluses, again, that's our money. And we, the people, you know, continued to lose money over the last 4 years of the Biden regime with all of the inflation and everything else. And so we, the people, should get more of our money back. And I think the governor's right here. You know, you hear all this rhetoric about who are the real conservatives, who are the rhinos, who are the moderates, who's this, who's that, the governor's this, the governor's that. But at the end of the day, the governor's got the most conservative income tax proposal at the legislature. And so, yeah, there's other proposals that are out there. But I just, unless they pivot here, I think the legislature, I've said this before, is about to fumble the football on income tax relief.
Yes. And, you know, they're not supposed to have billion-dollar surpluses. They're not supposed to tax us so they have some kind of, you know, a savings account for government. That's not at all. They're supposed to tax us specifically for what they need, and that's it. And when they're, I'm sure that their surpluses have been generated in the past few years because of Montana's increased productivity and the fact, you know, taxpayers are paying more, and it's just time to just cut it down. And, you know, it, maybe if they come up against a year when it's a close call, or, I mean, they can, there's things they can do if there is a shortfall, one of which is not to spend so much.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Now, that being said, there are, you know, with this surplus, there are some things that do need to be taken care of. I know last week the governor actually was in Billings doing a press conference with Police Chief Rich St. John and Yellowstone County Sheriff Mike Linder, and they talked about, you know, $150 million to add to our prison capacity here in the state, and then more support for highway patrol troopers and for corrections officers, et cetera. And I thought it was really interesting. Billings Police Chief Rich St. John in that press conference said that of the total of arrests from the Billings Police Department, 60% of those arrests were basically people who were already in the system. And it's like, so maybe we just need to take these people that constantly keep showing back up in the system and again in the system and in the system. That's why they need to be locked up, so that we stop, you know, I mean, that's what has law enforcement so busy is, you know, just those repeat offenders.
Right. And some of them are, you know, out, able to cause more crime because they don't have room in the jail for them. But they are repeat offenders, and maybe, I mean, hopefully, you know, adding to the size of our jail will curtail some of that.
Yeah, I think so. It getting some of these out of the prison or out of the jail into the prison will help alleviate capacity. All right, hold that thought.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The price system exists to allocate resources. That sounds like a line from a college lecture. That's because it is. And as those of us who occasionally lecture to make a living know, plenty of people don't like to be lectured to. And it turns out that plenty of people don't like the price system either. You see that emotion every time a natural disaster creates an immediate shortage of something, like gasoline or batteries. When those shortages cause price spikes, there are screams about gouging and greed, when really it's the price system doing its job. In the mindset of many, perhaps even the majority, prices should be low because we don't like the pain of paying for them. And when it comes to most forms of energy, that's especially so. Utility bills, gasoline, these things must be cheap. At the same time, those who take advantage of low prices to consume large amounts, driving big trucks, building 8,000 square foot homes, are shamed. And if you want to build a data center that consumes huge amounts of energy, you might even be stopped. I'm Patrick Burke.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
The coverage has been mostly negative, even among some media conservatives, of the sweeping global tariffs that President Trump imposed yesterday, as high as 54% against China, if you count previous levies, but also against nominal allies or ex-allies like Canada, Mexico, and even Ukraine. But the New York Times, to its credit, has a sidebar piece saying Trump has a point about the global trading system being unfair to the U.S., despite the fact that there is a certain amount of exaggeration and hypocrisy, according to the paper. Now, the problem is the other side of the equation, higher prices in the U.S., also getting a lot of attention. And as Senator John Kennedy, Republican, said, in the long run, this may work, but in the long run, we're all dead. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordlund.
The Food and Ag Policy Research Institute at the University of Missouri has released its 2025 U.S. Ag Market Outlook. And the outlook for the U.S. farm economy is characterized by two competing storylines. For producers of many crops, net returns are down sharply from recent peaks as output prices have declined more than input costs. But the cattle sector, in contrast, is experiencing record prices and returns to cow-calf producers. At the same time, uncertainty surrounding domestic programs and trade is unusually high. Corn prices, which peaked at $6.54 a bushel in 2022 through 23, are projected to average $4.23 a bushel for the crop harvested this year. Egg price volatility will also continue depending on the prevalence of future high-path avian influenza disease outbreaks. China's finance ministry, as expected, is going to place a 34% tariff on all U.S. imports starting on April 10th. This was in response to duties imposed last week by President Donald Trump that totaled 54%. China says the U.S. actions violate international trade. The two nations remain at odds over fentanyl flows into the U.S., which President Trump cited as the reason for earlier tariffs. U.S. soybeans are expected to take the biggest hit from China's retaliation. I'm Lee Nordblond.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. I've got the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet in front of me right now. You can too, just to sign up for their email update, and then check out the print edition as well, because there's a ton of information that comes out in the print edition. Evelyn, I saw this story in the hot sheet here. The Big Sky Passenger Rail Authority, those advocating to expand passenger rail service in Montana, the Big Sky Passenger Rail Authority hang in limbo as House Bill 848 is pending in the state legislature, which would create a Big Sky Rail account. Interesting story. I know, you know, we've talked a little bit in the past few years about this idea to create a southern route for Amtrak. Give us a little bit more details. Would the state actually pony up funds for this if this bill passed?
Well, yes and no. I mean, who they wanted to. This bill was introduced as imposing a tax on rental or car rentals, which is kind of astounding, but they got amended, and they are imposing a tax on railroad car rentals, or, you know, when they lease out railroad cars, which is where the money would come from. The gentleman who, Dave Strohmeyer, who heads the Big Sky Passenger Rail Authority, he said that the cost of this rail line is expected to be about $2 billion, and it would run from Seattle to Chicago, and it's about 2,300 miles long, and they have been going around the state trying to get commitments from counties and cities to help support this, and he has gotten, you know, numerous pledges from counties, especially along the line of the rail line, and including Billings. Yellowstone County commissioners refused, saying it was way too expensive, and we are going to help fund this, and This bill was introduced by Representative Denise Baum of Billings, and it has passed the House and is headed for the state for the Senate for passing. So
yeah, it looks like it would be a $2 billion price tag for a 2,300-mile-long route. That's the price tag. But the question is, how much would it cost the state? And that's what I think everybody's still trying to figure out. And that's why. But
right.
Yeah,
well, I think they're supposed to get money from Amtrak. But that's kind of in limbo, too. I mean, because the head of Amtrak resigned last week. And Amtrak, of course, they have the northern line going through the northern part of the state. But, you know, I mean, to me, this is just almost inconceivable because the Amtrak line in the north part of the state loses millions and millions of dollars a year. And this is going to, there's no doubt that this is not going to generate enough revenue to support it. And in fact, I don't think they could support it if our population, you know, if everybody rode it every day. I don't think we have enough people to justify this service. So,
well, I know one of the big concerns is, yeah, you talk about the Empire Builder route for Amtrak, which goes all along the High Line, basically follows along Highway 2 pretty much the entire stretch. And the folks on the High Line are worried that if a southern route is added, you know, the way they see it is, hey, Glendive, Billings, Missoula, you've already got the interstate, and if you get the Amtrak rail route too, we'll lose that, and then you'll have it all. I know that's the pushback you get from the Highline communities in particular, aside from just the cost of adding a new route. Hey, Evelyn, what's your take on all the tariff news and all the tariff back and forth?
I understand what President Trump's trying to do. And there's lots of, well, as you know, I'm sure, you know, a lot of news both ways about who's charging tariffs and who isn't, and the justification for Trump pushing back on tariffs that have been imposed on U.S. goods from a lot of different countries for a long, long time. I don't know if it did they say this morning on the Ag News that Trump is considering forming a fund to reimburse farmers should the their loss.
Interesting. Really, you know, I'll have to go back and listen to it again to see if that particular point was mentioned, because yeah, that's a very good question. All right, Evelyn Pyburn, great to hear from you as always. President Trump in his own. That Evelyn Pyburn threw out there just before the Fox News update. Yeah, I'll have to look to see if I can see any new stories on that front here. I did ask Grok a simple, quick question here. Is Trump going to help farmers in the midst of the tariff fight? Because you think about it. Look, short-term pain, long-term gain. Well, we can help with the short-term pain, right? I'll get to that here in just a second. But first, here is President Trump in his own words. He basically went out. This was from Fox News, but Rapid Response 47 sharing this on X. President Trump basically, you know, I think he was on Air Force One, and he just, you know, popped out of his office. There was a gaggle of reporters on Air Force One, and he spent about 15 minutes answering questions and more. Here's what he had to say about trade and tariffs.
I've spoken to many countries. They all want to do it just so you understand the power of what I'm doing. Every country is calling and being very solicitous of us. Very, very nice. They're being very nice. And we have to be able to justify this is not sustainable. The United States can't lose $1.9 trillion on trade. We can't do that and also spend a lot of money on NATO in order to protect European nations. We cover them with military, then we lose money on trade. The whole thing is crazy. And I got elected on that basis. We explained it. You know, the American people understand it a lot better than the media. But the media understands it. And much of the media writes correctly about it, I must say.
All right. All right. There you go. So, yeah, but back to this question, really good question that Evelyn Pyburn threw out there. And I'd have to go back and listen to the ag report that we had, a longer version in the 6 o'clock hour to see if they brought this up. But, yeah, you think about it. Okay, if there is short-term pain for the long-term gain for these trade fights, because, again, American beef is a perfect example. The Europeans are discriminating against American beef. The Australians are discriminating against American beef. So do we just never take that fight on and just continue to, you know, to be discriminated against by these other countries? Or do we take the fight on and, if there's a short-term pain, provide some aid to that short-term pain? Because basically you could argue that, look, you could just provide some relief to farmers and ranchers affected by tariffs and in any short-term export disruptions. So I asked Grok that question, and basically it does sound like, based off of the news reports that Grok compiled and various posts on X here, that, yeah, you just look back to when President Trump, you know, did something similar in his first term, between 2018 and 2020, when Donald Trump was trying to get a better trade deal with China. The administration provided, you know, billions of dollars in aid to offset losses from retaliatory tariffs. The funds were primarily channeled through the Commodity Credit Corporation. And yeah, it sounds like President Trump is looking at doing something similar once again, if it gets to that point. All right, back right after this.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I was kicking myself for playing all the great Jimmy Fallon comedy show highlights in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. I was like, I should have saved those for the 7 o'clock hour. But we always have way too much fun in the 6 o'clock hour. Don't worry, I got several other. This is going to be like some best of highlights here this morning. Okay, let's go to our messages here first. By the way, phone lines are open for you right now. We got a relatively busy 8 o'clock hour of the show, but call in right now, 406-294-0970. If you got something you want to talk about, let's see. A listener in the Flathead Valley sent us a message on the Montana Talks app, you know, talking about the hands off. All these radical left-wing protests, it was just like a carnival of crazy when you look at all these left-wing activists. You know, and what's funny, too, is if you look at, like, the media reports, you can tell they tried to, like, carefully craft their coverage. They didn't show you all the crazy that was actually at these rallies and these protests. They had to carefully, selectively share certain photographs. This Montana Sentinel website, and we're going to talk with the Montana Sentinel coming up in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. They've got probably a dozen plus photographs of all the crazies that were at the Capitol protest in Helena. And this listener in the Flathead just sent us a message. A few of the paid communist agitators sat near us in a restaurant. We heard them talking about how they drove in from out of town. It was old hippie boomers and middle-aged Karens with no kids. Pathetic. That's what the listener in the Flathead had to say here. The old hippie boomers line was hilarious. Because, yeah, KTVQ television, they've been slobbering over all of these George Soros AstroTurf events. And they had this headline, "From Chants to Chords, Classic Songs Take Center Stage at Protest." And you know what? This slobber fest over these left-wing protest groups by KTVQ television was so perfectly symbolic of what all of this is. It's the old hippie boomers who you know, the protested the Vietnam War, and, oh, they get to relive their glory days. That's what they think they're doing. Oh, look at this. And it's all these angry, old, radical left-wing activists. Man, anyway, enough said on that one. Lucas and Bozeman with a message on a different front. We were talking about income tax cuts. Lucas says this: I am a conservative who voted for Governor Gianforte. I'm all for tax cuts, but everyone I know owes the state taxes this year. Why is that? We apparently had income tax cuts a few years ago, and then we got $650 for property tax relief. But funny how everyone owes state tax now. Lucas, I actually checked in with an accountant on this, and I need to follow up with the Department of Revenue. Because as I understand it, because I asked an accountant this, I'm hearing from a few of our listeners who are saying, why do I owe taxes on my income taxes? And what this accountant told me is that it sounds like there was that whatever it was with these withholding tables published by the Department of Revenue, a lot of people did not get enough money withheld from their taxes each paycheck. And so it sounds like people aren't paying more in taxes, but people just didn't have enough withheld throughout the year, if that makes sense, Lucas and Bozeman. Either way, if you ask me, it sounds like somebody screwed up, whether it was, you know, Department of Revenue not producing the right withholding tables, or whether employers for whatever reason did not adjust following the tax changes. But I've had several messages from people who said, hey, how come we now owe on state taxes when we haven't owed in the past few years, especially after the legislature cut our taxes the last two legislative sessions? So at least now maybe there's somebody's going to do some more reporting on this to find out, but as I understand it, it's not that people are paying more in taxes, it's that you didn't have enough withheld, and now unfortunately you're paying as you get ready to file your taxes here, and if you haven't already, because of course you only got about a week or so to go here. But Lucas, thanks for that question. Okay, back to the Trump derangement syndrome seminars that took place over the weekend. Back to this. This was from the 47th POTUS on Instagram. And I thought this video perfectly captured all of these radical left-wing protesters. There was a bunch of in Bozeman, a bunch in Helena. There was a bunch in downtown Billings, just like when they had their BLM protests, just like when they had their pro-gun control protests. It's the same band of activists.
Having a rough day? Do you find yourself acting irrationally? Do you get mistaken as a hyena when you laugh? Or do word salads occur frequently? Now there's help. Introducing Trumpanol. Trumpanol is designed specifically for those suffering with Trump derangement syndrome. Don't allow TDS to control your life anymore. Trumpanol is fast-acting, delivering relief from the stress of campaign season. Side effects may include registering as a Republican or voting for Donald Trump. Consult with your doctor before taking Trumpanol.
No, anyway, that was great. Trumpanol. Man, there'd be a whole bunch of pill bottles to pass out at those fake, phony, left-wing-funded, paid activist agitator protests over the weekend, wouldn't there? Just, here you go. Here's some Trumpanol for you. Here you go. Trumpanol for you. It'd be like Oprah. You get Trumpanol. You get Trumpanol. Everybody gets Trumpanol. But I loved it, though. The Montana Democrat Party was like, Montanans showed up this weekend. Were those people really all from Montana? Even if they were. Montana showed up on Election Day 2024, and we know exactly what Montanans voted for. Into the phone lines we go. Bob McGuire, great to hear from you, my friend. What's going on?
Oh, I just want to let you know I was the one that got a nice state income tax return.
You got a refund. Okay. Well, that's good to hear.
I got a refund, yeah, because I withheld a lot of money.
Ah.
That was the difference. I think I withheld like 11%. And made a big difference.
Did you? So you withheld more in the current tax year. You withheld more in 2024 than you did before.
Yes, I withheld more last year, and actually set it up several years ago. And each year I've been getting a state refund. Now, some would say, "Well, that's not such a good idea, Bob. That's money you could have used throughout the year." And that's true. But I got to tell you, this time of year, it sure came in handy for me.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know if you ended up paying more in taxes overall or less in taxes overall, regardless of withholding?
I paid about the same. Regardless of withholding.
Oh, about the same. Yeah. Okay, because I just had a listener in Joliet say that they were told that exemptions for Montana were taken away this year. In the past years, a family of five, you had five exemptions. So I wonder if there were changes to exemptions. I'll have to follow up on that one.
I got my puppies barking behind me right now.
I hear you. That sounds like fun. Well, Bob McGuire, great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, bud.
All right, yeah, great long-time weatherman in Billings and, covering all the way from Livingston to the Mondakistan region, of course. Great to hear from Bob. What an honor to know you're listening in this morning. Trump and all, what kind of medication do these angry radical leftists need? Well, let's see. That brings me to, I think there's a federal judge who could use some Trump and all. That's that Judge Boasberg. Judge Boasberg is the guy who is trying to, who is basically fighting to keep all these hardcore criminal illegal aliens here in this country. Congressman Daryl Issa was on Fox News over the weekend, had this to say about that far left judge.
Well, there's an old expression in federal court, which is the difference between God and a federal judge is God doesn't think he's a federal judge. But this federal judge is far exceeding his jurisdiction. Once that individual is outside the United States, he is not a subject of a district court. And realistically, he may hold the president in contempt, but I have a hard time believing he can enforce it with a U.S. attorney. But more importantly, the question that we're running into constantly is these judges that are called district court judges. Their jurisdiction is supposed to be within their district for individuals or their representatives that come before them. And these national orders, an international order in this case, exceed their jurisdiction. There's a reason we have a Supreme Court created by the Constitution and district courts created by Congress. There's a difference.
U.S. District Judge James Boasberg sounds like he is thinking about holding some Trump administration officials in contempt for refusing to stop those deportation flights to El Salvador. The New York Post editorial board's calling on Boasberg to recuse himself from trial, quote, but the brazenness and ugliness of the conflict here should set everyone's alarm bells ringing. Recuse yourself now, Judge, before you embarrass yourself and the profession any further.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary, not available in all states or situations.
Fox News commentary.
President Trump signed an executive order to protect fans from price gouging and predatory ticket scalping. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It's the Will Cain Podcast.
I watched the entire Doge interview with Bret Baier. My takeaway is, for all the people out there burning Teslas and painting penises on the door, I think you're living in an alternate reality where you believe these guys are all a bunch of computer hacker nerd kids who've been hired by Elon to execute his wishes. These are impressive people, accomplished people, who are coming in going, this is crazy the way all this is run.
Get the podcast 5 days a week at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
This week, flanked by his longtime ally Kid Rock, President Trump signed an executive order targeting ticket scalpers and other predatory behavior in the live entertainment ticketing industry. The order directs the FTC to work with the AG to ensure competition laws in the concert and ticketing industry are observed. The order also requires full price transparency in the ticket purchasing process, including the resale market. President Trump is committed to making concerts and other live events affordable again. He believes the greedy middlemen, the scalpers, and online bots are jacking up the price of tickets, with the artists and the talent themselves seeing no benefit. The entertainment industry may not be pro-Trump, Taylor Swift, but I hope some of the haters in the industry can appreciate their president looking out for them and their fans. A big thank you once again to President Trump. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area today and some increasing clouds late today in spots. High temperature readings will trend from the mid-60s across the Bozeman area to the lower 70s in Billings. For tonight, we'll see some cloudiness and a few light showers possible in some areas. Upper 30s in Bozeman, mid-40s in Billings. And then on Tuesday, with the chances for showers, otherwise staying rather cloudy through the day. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Several more illegal aliens were arrested in Montana's Flathead Valley and are now being processed for removal from the country. By the way, did you notice the sweatshirts the guys were wearing in that photo? We've got that story at MontanaTalks.com. Plus, we talked with Toole County Sheriff Tyler Padilla about the Trinde Aragua illegal alien gang arrests in Shelby, Montana, just south of the border.
It's located at 1710 Grand Avenue, Billings, Montana. Get your Velasta now. It really works.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let me see. I finished before that last segment with that great question about this federal judge and why he should recuse himself from any of these cases involving the illegal aliens that are being deported, the hardcore criminal illegal aliens, by the way, who are being deported to El Salvador. I'll get to that second part of that audio clip here in just a second. But first, let's see, Greg in Billings sent a message here talking about tariffs and trade. Greg says this: hold the line. These corrections must happen in order to save this nation. I've been studying this, and this is all part of the plan. First, a much overdue market correction, then interest rate cuts, then restructuring our national debt. I could be wrong saying this, but 1 year later, we are going to be in much better shape. I would add to what Greg Franks just sent there to talk about the billions and billions and billions of dollars in investments that President Trump is bringing back to America, similar to what he did his first term. All right, here we go. Daryl Issa, Congressman Daryl Issa, talking about this far-left Judge Boasberg.
Is this judge interfering with the power of the presidency and the executive branch?
Well, he lacks the perception of neutrality and fairness, and particularly when a second case comes to the chief judge and he pretends that it's by accident. The chief judge, Boasberg, in this case, he controls who gets cases, and the idea that it was purely random simply doesn't pass the sniff test. So, yes, he should recuse himself. He should let another judge begin making these, so at least the appearance of a neutrality and fairness would be reestablished.
Now, the funniest thing here, well, some of you might laugh at it. Some of you might get pretty angry about it. But these TV stations here in Montana, you know, the way they're slobbering over all of the anti-Trump protests, they never covered Tea Party events the way they cover these anti-Trump protests. But they're just slobbering over these things. It's like, oh, all of a sudden their weekend reporters have all the time in the world to cover stuff like this. Did you see, I saw Q2 on their Facebook page. They had a story about the Maryland man who this judge claims was wrongly deported. The Maryland man. What? I commented on their Facebook page. Maryland man. Right.
You for being here. What can you tell us about where this case stands? The judge says he's got to be returned by tomorrow. The government's obviously appealing it.
Well, Greg, the bottom line is whether this MS-13 gang member is locked up in a U.S. detention facility or in El Salvador, he is off of American streets, and that's what really matters. He's not only an MS-13 gang member, but he's also a human trafficker. The fact that the mainstream media is framing him as a Maryland father and framing him as this Maryland, this darling of the media is really disgusting and disturbing, and it really shows what the media culture is today, that they are defending these vicious gang members. Keep in mind, Griff, who MS-13 is. These are individuals who kill Americans for sport. They maim, they rape. They kill. They should not be on U.S. soil.
Yeah, the guy's an illegal alien from El Salvador, but your local TV station calls him A Maryland man. Right. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. Hey, what are so many of these protesters fighting? They don't want Elon Musk to trim the fat out of government. All right, whether you support trimming the fat out of government or not, I'll bet you'd like to trim some fat out heading into the spring and summer. Well, you know the program that works, Billings Last Diet. Tim and Savage has trimmed off nearly 100 pounds of fat using Billings Last Diet. And he's done it on the Montana-North Dakota border. He's all the way out in Mondakistan, and he's lost 100 pounds with Billings Last Diet. So if you're in Billings, all you got to do is drive right down the road and you can go see your diet coach in person. You can go attend one of their free seminars and start shedding the pounds like crazy. Or if you're in Butte, you're in Kalispell right now, no problem. They've got a remote option that's working in Mondakistan. It'll work in Butte, too. BillingsLastDiet.com.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The price system exists to allocate resources. That sounds like a line from a college lecture. That's because it is. And as those of us who occasionally lecture to make a living know, plenty of people don't like to be lectured to. And it turns out that plenty of people don't like the price system either. You see that emotion every time a natural disaster creates an immediate shortage of something, like gasoline or batteries. When those shortages cause price spikes, there are screams about gouging and greed, when really it's the price system doing its job. In the mindset of many, perhaps even the majority, prices should be low because we don't like the pain of paying for them. And when it comes to most forms of energy, that's especially so. Utility bills, gasoline, these things must be cheap. At the same time, those who take advantage of low prices to consume large amounts, driving big trucks, building 8,000-square-foot homes, are shamed. And if you want to build a data center that consumes huge amounts of energy, you might even be stopped. I'm Patrick Barker.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.